Hello, Legion of Audience. This is James, and before we get started today, I wanted to take a second and let you all know about the brand new Who Would Win Patreon. If you'd like to support the show and get behind-the-scenes access like you've never seen before, go to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow right now. Who Would Win patrons will have access to outtake videos, early info on battles, and even get a vote on characters that we'll use in upcoming episodes. So if you'd like to support me and the show, head to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow, and for as little as $5 a month, you can define yourself as more than just a fan. You'll be an official member of the Legion. Hope to see you there.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Nicole Byer, helping you make those rooms flyer. Today's style tip, when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild! Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Ooh, fierce! This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Welcome to another episode of Who Would Win Unleashed, a show that completely ignores anything important happening in the world and instead focuses on a fictional battle between characters from the worlds of comics, sci-fi, and fantasy. I'm your host, James Gavsey, and as always, I'm joined by the one and only Eric Holmes. In today's episode, it's a no-holds-barred clash of chaos and creativity as a ragtag troupe of eccentric showbiz rebels faces off against a tight-knit neighborhood of educational icons.
Yes. This is great.
Yes, this is what we're calling this. It's a gang war. It's a gang war. This is what it is. In one corner, you have the Muppets, a chaotic, lovable troupe of misfits and entertainers who bring music, mayhem, and heartfelt hilarity to every stage they stumble into for a gang war. And in the other corner, you have Sesame Street, a warm, welcoming neighborhood where lovable monsters, quirky humans, and curious creatures teach, sing, and learn valuable life lessons through fun and friendship. Who now find themselves in a gang war that even HBO wouldn't put on air. As usual, I did the patented Who Would Win Google test just to see how many times this match has been discussed. And this battle has not, you know, only been discussed a billion times online. It's actually been celebrated as a version of this show a couple of times, a couple of different episodes. But here's the deal. Each time this debate has been done on Who Would Win, the judge each time kind of ignored the rules of the show completely, didn't take it as seriously as they should have, didn't understand what we were trying to do, which means this iconic battle finally gets resolved today. Eric, I have to know, what are your thoughts on today's matchup?
All right, so you and I already know how ridiculous this is, but this is the matchup that the world didn't know that they needed to have, okay, first of all. And I just want to thank our judge, Fred, for being here.
So I'll introduce the judge.
Okay, yeah. So I'm just excited to get this going, and listeners, just hang in there, because this is going to get wild, fun, and hilarious. That's my thoughts.
And I just have to put this out there for both our sponsors and our listeners. This will be family friendly. Yes. I'm looking at our judge. I'm using air quotes, family friendly. I'm also emphasizing to our judge that this show, beyond anything, really should be geared as a family friendly type of show. I hope our judge hears what I'm saying. With that being said, let's introduce our judge. It's someone I've known for well over 25 years. This is crazy. It's someone who I would call the toughest guy in the room. It's someone who I would say you want in your corner anytime you're ever in any trouble whatsoever. It's also someone who's a black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and one of the chief instructors of Relentless Martial Arts, now open in Venice, California. Plug, plug. Here we go. Sorry. It's also someone who is a chief instructor at Relentless Martial Arts. It's a black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. It's the coolest guy in any room he's ever been in. It's the one and only. It's Fred Serrato. Fred, welcome to Who Would Win.
Ooh, welcome, hey, hey, Fred. What do you say? Thank you, boys.
Yeah.
All right, listen, Fred, you know, you and I know each other very well, but here's the deal. Tell the Legion of Audience, our fan base, you know, a little bit about you, your background, why you think you're the perfect person for this Muppets versus Sesame Street gang war taking place, I guess, somewhere in New York, New Jersey, or what have you.
Great. Well, being Jersey born, Newark born, you can't get better than that. And growing up in the 70s, that's what we were raised on. Muppets, Sesame Street. So let's go. Let's see what happens. I'm going to put, we'll draw a line in the sand, and I want to see some battles going on.
That's right. That's right.
This is, so, Leisure of Audience, Fred is someone who understands how fights work, and I'm going to put that mildly. This is someone who does challenge matches at Relentless, where one was called Max Impact Martial Arts, Golden Gloves boxer from New Jersey. May know a few people, if you know what I'm saying. This is the perfect person for a gang war between Muppets and Sesame Street. The first time, by the way, we put this on the Who Would Win Twitter feed, now X, of course, it blew up. It took, it was like a whole week of insane opinions and everything. The Huffington Post at the time started coming in and saying, well, we think the Muppets might have an edge, but we're not sure. That's when I knew we were on to something pretty cool. And here we are finalizing all this. Eric, you're taking the Muppets. How confident are you in this battle?
I mean, I you'll see my points that I have as to why the Muppets are absolutely going to drag the whole little Sesame Street crew through the streets of Sesame.
What are you even saying?
It's the streets of Sesame. I'm not even going to say Sesame Street. I'm going to say now back to the street of Sesame, and my Muppets are back going to the street, just dragging them around town. You'll see, it's going to get good.
Why do you have such glee? Did Big Bird do something to you or your family? Did Snuffleupagus not, I know, give you candy at Halloween? What's going on here?
No comment.
Okay, that's fair. But before we get into today's battle, let's go over the basics of a Who Would Win match. Now, each debater will make 3 points. Keep in mind that the Who Would Win match is a random encounter in a neutral location with no prior knowledge of prep time allowed, and the debater has to stay within the confines of the characters. I think we'll do that somehow. And when it comes to determining the winner, it's the judge who has the final say and will determine which character lost based on death, incapacitation, or battlefield removal with no outside interference being allowed. Typical stuff for Sesame Street, the Muppets. Remember, the bottom line of Who Would Match is that for one side to get the win, their opponent must be somehow incapacitated for a minimum of 2 minutes where they pose no threat. I'm just picturing Big Bird, like just grinding animal under his foot, going, that's what you get.
Exactly. It's going to happen.
It's going to happen. Yep. All right, look, and before we get started, don't forget to visit the official Who Would Win store. Visit sayword.co/collections. That's sayword.co/collections. And click on the Who Would Win merch section. Get your hands on some great Who Would Win shirts, hats, hoodies, and our very own proprietary 3D printed Who Would Win versus stand. And now let's get to the tail of the tape for both of our combatants. Eric, please give us the details for the Muppets.
The Muppets are a delightfully chaotic ensemble of Felt and Fur. You all know them. You've been familiarized with them over the years, and now it's time to see what they got. They are led by the one and only Flustered Kermit the Frog. Does anyone do a good Kermit voice here by any chance? Any good Kermit?
Kermit the Frog here.
There you guys have it. That was spot on.
I don't even know who did that. That was crazy.
It was one of you guys. All right, I'm gonna
continue. It's like he's in the room.
Yeah, why does he talk like that anyways?
He was born that way.
Okay, he's born that way. All right.
It was the 70s or late 60s. Hospitals just didn't have, they used forceps to pull heads. Anyway, go ahead.
He's like tired walking around trying to talk. All right, anyways. So Kermit the Frog, who, you know, somehow manages to wrangle this carnival of chaos. There's also Miss Piggy, a diva with karate chops as sharp as her wit. Don't forget about Fozzie Bear, who's actually a stand-up comedian whose jokes are so bad they're good. You know, well, sometimes. Anyways, there's also Gonzo the Great, whose hobbies include cannon stunts and romancing chickens, is what it is. Also, let us add an animal, the drum-smashing wild man, and a heckling duo of Statler and Waldorf, who never miss a chance to roast the show from the balcony seats. And this was all obviously created by the genius Jim Henson as a blend of marionette and puppet magic. The Muppets have been charming audiences since the Muppet Show debuted, actually since 1976. And together, you know, they prove that no matter how absurd life gets, It's always better with a song, a laugh, and a little controlled chaos, baby.
Well done, Eric. I'm using air quotes around the words well done, by the way. Here are the facts for Sesame Street. Now, Sesame Street, which debuted on November 10th, 1969, revolutionized children's television by blending education with entertainment thanks to the creative genius of Jim Henson. Among its iconic characters is Big Bird, an 8-foot-tall yellow bird with a childlike curiosity, so wrong, who has been a central figure since the show's inception. Alongside him is Cookie Monster, the blue cookie-obsessed addict, whose insatiable appetite has become legendary, and Count Von Count, the numbers-loving immortal vampire who teaches math with a dramatic flair. These characters, along with a diverse cast of humans and Muppets, have made Sesame Street a global phenomenon, teaching generations of children about letters, numbers, and kindness while addressing real-world issues with humor and heart, who now find themselves in the ultimate gang war. Yes. With the Muppets. I can't believe this is real life. Now you have the facts on both opponents. Fred, do you have any questions before we get started?
Are all characters in play?
Ooh, that's a great question. So I would have to answer that two ways. The answer is whoever Eric brings to the table, whoever I bring to the table, they are in play. Right. But one of my concerns, Eric, is that, you know, some people call Sesame Street the Muppets, or also there's Muppets on Sesame Street. I'm going to the judge. There's a clear separation. Listen, we got to be serious about a battle with this magnitude.
Is real. This is happening.
So yeah. I think whoever's on the Muppets as a show is with them. Whoever is like a character on Sesame Street is with them. And that's where we kind of draw the line. Fred, yeah. Would you agree with that?
I would agree.
There you go. Right. Okay. Fred's got that evil grin I've seen before. Someone's going to the hospital in about 10 minutes.
Absolutely.
Hi, Jinx will ensue. All right. Let's get this battle started. Eric, hit us with your point number one.
So let us discuss the Muppets heavy hitters, okay? First, I got to start off with the diva herself, Miss Piggy, all right? She's got the chops, people. We've seen Miss Piggy in action over the years, literally chops. Whether she's busting steel bars to escape a cell and unleashing her karate fury on fellow Muppets, and unlucky bystanders, her raw strength, she's freaking strong, guys. And martial arts, she is an expert at martial arts. Let's not forget that. It clearly makes her a powerhouse. No one wants to cross. So that's Miss Piggy, a force to be reckoned with. Next, there's Animal. We don't really know what's going on with Animal, but let's just, say like it is. It's basically Tasmanian devil rocking out on drums, right? He's all wild energy with a single-minded thirst for chaos. The combination of brute force, relentless aggression, and that animal battle cry makes him a terrifying tornado in any fight. Then, my other heavy hitter is that Swedish chef with them Swedish meatballs, baby. Don't let the gibberish fool you, okay? He's an absolute maestro with knives, cleavers, and anything sharp enough to chop, slice, or dice. It's not every day you see a chef using kitchen utensils like they are medieval weaponry, okay? Then there's Gonzo, all right? The ultimate daredevil. He's literally has launched himself from cannons, catapults, or off tall buildings. No stun is off limits for Gonzo, okay? Plus, his unwavering willingness to throw himself in harm's way, along with an army of fiercely loyal chickens, him and his chickens, I know, is what it is, it's always been what it is, gives the Muppets a huge tactical advantage. Then let's get to Sweetums, a towering ogre with the strength to stop helicopters from lifting off the ground, and a sheer force to smash through walls like they're wet paper. If he decides your dinner, you might want to get out of town fast, because when Sweetums is hungry, he's hungry. Then there's Crazy Harry, baby. This guy's favorite pastime is blowing stuff up. Literally. I mean, he's got an endless supply of explosives and loves to make things go boom. Ba-boom, baby. If you see him cackling and holding a plunger, it's probably already too late, all right? So he's just a little ball of destruction. And then are the Sesame Street residents ready for a bunch of weapon-wielding, fish-flinging, chaos-loving Muppets? The answer is not a chance. James, that's my point number one.
Interesting stuff, Eric. A couple of things. So first of all, Miss Piggy, I don't know if she's a martial arts master. I see her karate chopping. I mean, that's pretty good. I've never seen her do a triangle chokehold. I've never seen her do a hip throw. Mm. I've never even seen her throw like a jab cross. Can she even throw a straight punch with those weird arm things going on? I don't think so. And really, the big question I have is, what is going on with Gonzo and his chickens? Right. Legion of Audience, don't look into that too much. I think the government might arrest you for horrible browsing history. I'm just saying there's a kid's character who's got a love affair with chickens.
Yeah.
And that's who you're bringing to this battle. Interesting call, but it doesn't matter what I think. Let me get to my point number one. We'll see what the judge has to say in a second. For my first point, Let me just put it this way. Sesame Street is home to some of the most surprisingly powerful characters in all of children's television. We're going to start off with Big Bird, okay? This is a towering 8-foot-tall yellow bird with a heart of gold, I think. And Big Bird teaches empathy and resilience. He helped kids navigate the COVID-19 pandemic. In other words, Big Bird helped to beat COVID. How strong do you have to beat COVID? That is insanely strong. Good luck, Muppets. Just with that alone, I put Big Bird against the Muppets, no problem. On top of that, you got Count Von Count. This is an ancient vampire. Look, there's one thing I know about vampires. Like, let's just all face it. The older a vampire is, the more powerful they are. This is a freaking daywalker. We know how strong daywalkers are from that great documentary about vampires, Blade.
Daywalker.
Exactly. And that's what the Count is, just walking around Sesame Street like it's nothing. Right. Millions of years old. Whenever he counts, by the way, lightning goes off, you hear thunder. So he controls the freaking weather and knows how to count to like big numbers like 12, 15, maybe even 10. I don't know what's happening with them. That is crazy. On top of that, the power of vampire, you got super speed, resilience, flight. We don't even know what this guy can do. What are the Muppets going to do when Count Von Count is ripping out throats of all those chickens Gonzo's got going? I don't know what's going to happen. And then, of course, you've got the Cookie Monster. He's blue. He's chaotic. He's a force of nature as well. Insatiable hunger for cookies is what he's all about. He teaches self-control amid his own cookie-devouring frenzy. That's a Wikipedia description of Cookie Monster. That's how powerful this guy is. He's got a clear addiction to some substance. He's abusing it horribly and somehow can still teach kids self-control. Okay. He's very strong. He's fast. He's capable of biting through literally anything. Look, you've seen him try to eat cookies and then Kermit or Grover's like, here's a hubcap. Here's a manhole cover, whatever. It's a great cookie. And all you hear is nom, nom, nom. And of course, he's eaten through anything. That's because the power of his addiction is that strong. What would happen if Ernie said to Cookie Monster, hey, look at all those Muppet looking cookies coming at you right now. Better get them before we do. They are done and done. And finally, you have Snuffleupagus, who's this woolly mammoth. Big, huge thing. Now, by the way, fun fact, Snuffleupagus was a figment of Big Bird's imagination. So for many years, up until 1985, mm-hmm. no one even knew that Snuffleupagus was a thing because Big Bird would talk to it. No one could see it. No one could hear it. And all of a sudden, Snuffleupagus on his own, as a pure concept, decided to will himself to life, which means he can warp reality. So not only do you have someone who can warp reality, which means he can will something in life, I don't know what even that means. He's also a freaking mammoth who's just going to stomp the hell out of, I don't know, he'll start with the chickens, because that's just a wrong thing that's happening there with Gonzo, by the way. And then he's going to take out Gonzo. Yeah, throw explosives at a mammoth. You know what that does? It makes a mammoth angry. Good luck with all of that. That's my point number one.
Okay, that was good. That was good. Long story short, your crew just doesn't seem like they're all a team, like how, you know, my Muppets are. So got some of this wild stuff here with obviously Cookie Monster, you know. And yes, that was a good mention that it's Big Bird's imaginary friend, Snuffy. But yeah, got it. But I'm going to let you know what's really going on with my Muppets right now. You ready for this?
Well, first we have to go to see what the judge has to say. Just slow your roll a little bit there, Eric.
Let's see how he is. How are you, Fred?
Well, Eric, hold on. I mean, here's the deal, Fred. You've heard one point, I mean, with chickens from Eric.
Sure.
You've heard an insanely,
chickens, more than chickens.
Insanely great point from Daywalker, Fred.
I had no idea.
Snuffleupagus. Yeah, that's right. Snuffy.
He's such a really good.
Snuffleupagus.
That's right. That's good. I think it's Greek. Where is your head at so far with this battle?
How are you, Fred? First, are you okay?
I'm super.
All right, nice. Thank you for being here again.
Fred, did you think your day would lead you to this? Do you think your life would lead you to this moment?
You know, I aspire to be many things, but this is coming up on the tops.
This is peak, right?
I'm happy.
This is peak.
I'm happy I'm here.
Thank you, Fred.
Amongst giants.
There you go. Yes.
Yes. Thank goodness.
You can't see it, but they're large boys and girls.
It's a big boys.
Okay. Question.
Yes.
I got answers.
Yeah.
Who's asking?
No, the question is, so what we're wondering is, you've heard one point from both of us.
Yes.
Where's your head at so far? Do you think someone's kind of leaning ahead of this, or do you think someone's falling? But who do you think is kind of going ahead in this battle so far, and why?
Tactics-wise, I don't know. The Street Warriors, Sesame Street, they might have a little bit of tactical advantage, mm-hmm. but then you got the Muppets, pure chaos. Seems like a little disjointed. I don't know. This is a tough one.
So far you're thinking it's kind of even.
It's even right now. I need to hear more clarifying points of who's coming to bat and who's going to hit it out of the park with some knockout, whether it's roundhouses, a one-inch punch, whatever.
Yeah, some Bruce Lee stuff. Sesame Street's known for, by the way.
Exactly. Always, okay.
Yeah.
Right, sure.
You know, there's not a lot of little kids on Sesame Street anymore. You know why? They go flying with one-inch punches.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, you're a monster for thinking that, Eric. Yeah, that's horrible. All right, let's get this party continued going. All right, Eric, here's your point number two.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Styles McKenzie helping you make those rooms sing. Today's style tip. When it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild. Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Arr, fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Yeah, so let's get this going. Who's ready for a rumble? Picture the Muppets rolling up to the ultimate Who Would Win showdown. All right, I got to paint this picture for you guys. It's like a street gang in an action movie. Meanwhile, Sesame Street seems more interested in teaching us the alphabet, specifically the letter D. Okay? Follow me. Hold on. I know. Just let me finish because my next point, thank you, James, for restraining yourself. Elmo would say... D is for dying. This is my best Elmo, guys.
It's like Elmo's in the room. I don't even know what's happening.
What is what we're all going to do in this battle, kids? So that's my Elmo.
Good thing they're on HBO, by the way. This would never fly on PBS.
I hope they pick it up. Yeah. All right, so moving on. I tried. It's also mind over muscle. It's not just about who's physically tougher. It's about who actually wants to fight, right? And I'm telling you, my Muppets come to fight. My Muffins. All right.
Do they bring all the...
to the yard?
They do bring all the boys there.
They bring everyone to the yard. All right, I'll continue. Okay. Let us keep this family
PG,
friendly.
PG.
PG, PG. All right, yeah, so the Muppets literally will jump at the chance for mayhem. Sesame Street has a way tougher time getting aggressive. I'm telling you, my Muppets are freaking aggressive. Look, Cookie Monster might chase down cookies like a maniac, but put him in a cage fight. I mean, let's do it, guys. He's likely to shout... Om nom nom and wander off in search of treats. Okay,
is the Cookie Monster in the room? Like, this is he's here.
I did him justice, did I not?
No,
damn it. Okay, I tried. Muppets also have a mean streak. I mean, these Muppets are freaking mean, guys. From Miss Piggy's karate chops to Animal's love of rampaging drum solos, these characters literally live for chaos. Even Gonzo's eager to blast himself out of a cannon for the cause. Example. Gonzo once tried to ride a motorcycle across a tightrope. Now imagine that same Gonzo stunt, but aimed at an opponent with fireworks attached. And Kermit is a secret weapon. Don't forget the frog can throw hands if needed. In a cinematic masterpiece called Muppets Most Wanted, he steps up to defeat the villain Constantine, who's basically an evil Kermit clone. With Miss Piggy dishing out a serious beatdown, Kermit finishes off Constantine with a single well-timed slap. Example, think of this. Kermit politely sipping tea 1 second and then landing a knockout blow the next. That's the range we're talking about here, okay? Sesame Street's idea of extreme is Oscar flinging trash around. What is that? The Muppets' idea of extreme is Crazy Harry blowing up the entire stage, not once, but twice. Which Sesame Street resident can unleash that level of raw in your face ferocity? Spoiler alert, nobody. And that's why the Muppets dominate in this battle.
All right, this is good stuff. Here's the thing. When you talk, you used the word diva before, right? And correct. Listen, I'm in production. I worked with a lot of actors, a lot of directors, a lot of personalities. And here's the thing. Working as a cohesive unit, that only works if people feel threatened most of the time or feel like, hey, I'm going to lose out on a gig or whatever. But if you had, like, I don't know, took, like, some production, let's say it was, like, Cats. Okay, let's say you went to Cats, great production. I highly recommend it to not me. The thing is, you go to the see watch Cats and you say, guys, in today's episode of Cats, whatever, we're not actually going to be doing Cats. We're in a gang war.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, Sesame Street has been Sesame Street for well over 50 years. They've protected their neighborhood. Like, no one has come in and changed anything with Sesame Street. They've repelled any invaders so well, we don't even know if they've ever been attempted to be invaded. It's crazy. But the Muppets, right? If you went to Cats and said, hey, guys, we're going to invade that street over there in a gang war, you think the crew of Cats would be like, I'm down for that? Absolutely not. To get the Muppets all together in a fight is going to be a massive challenge. Sesame Street, their whole crew, guess what they're about? Protecting freaking Sesame Street.
Protecting the street of Sesame?
That's right. They're protecting the streets, Eric.
Those sesame seeds?
There's no sesame seeds there. They're bad for your teeth anyway.
They're delicious, actually.
Though. They are pretty good. All right, let me get to my point number two. For my point number two, let me talk about even more powerhouses that Sesame Street has. I'm about to go into some insanely weird territory, so just follow me along for this ride.
Bring it.
Okay, here we go. Let's talk about Oscar the Grouch. So in case you didn't know, Oscar the Grouch's garbage can, I'm just going to say it, is a tesseract. You know what a tesseract is, kids?
Tesseract.
That's right. A tesseract is like, you know, Doctor Who's TARDIS, right? It's that little phone booth he has. It looks like a small thing. You go into it. It's massive on the inside. It's like Santa Claus's bag of presents. It looks like a big bag. You go into it. It's holding billions of presents for kids around the world, much bigger on the inside than the outside. You know why? Because where are all the homeless people on Sesame Street? Not on the streets. Guess where they are? It's New York, known for having a lot of people without homes. They're in the garbage can. We've heard people talking there before. He's got a little army, maybe of homeless people or of other residents under his, I have no idea. By the way, he can also teleport, Eric. He can go from one garbage can to another. So all of a sudden, the Muppet storms Sesame Street. Oscar's like, oh, that's cool. He unleashes, you know, his army and hordes. He's got a worm down there, elephants, the whole thing. Right. They attack, and he pops up behind him in another freaking garbage can, unleashes another horde. They try to dive in the garbage can. They can't control it. It's Oscar doing this. Okay. I just like Oscar the Grouch. By the way,
Oscar.
It's crazy. By the way, then there's Super Grover. All right, Super Grover. We see him. He's flying around. He's got very little control. Like, I guess it was like Greatest American Hero. I'm dating myself here from the early 80s. Some guy who could fly but didn't know how to do it, so he crashed into stuff. God. That's Super Grover. And he's like flying, and all of a sudden he sees something. What's he do? He dive bombs into the ground. Hits it super hard, ground goes everywhere. He gets up, shakes it off, and he's good to go, and then teaches us about stuff. By the way, he's all about STEM now. So now he's going to teach us a freaking science lesson, which means if you come at him with explosives or anything, he's got STEM knowledge,
okay. And
he's invulnerable, so good luck. He can fly at super speed, and he can't get hurt. By the way, fun fact, remember when Christopher Reeve, you know, God bless Christopher Reeve, he was on the Muppets. And Miss Piggy tried to ask him out or something, and you know he turned her down. So she was like, "Hi, yeah," and then smashed him in the gut. He was fine, and Miss Piggy all of a sudden like whatever, as if she just hit like solid steel, because she did. So that's what they have in Super Grover, someone who could absolutely take out Miss Piggy easily. And finally, I'm going to talk about the real monster on Sesame Street. This is the real monster inside that person, the scariest person I've ever seen on Sesame Street. Once I made this observation. I'm talking about the raging, violent, completely unhinged psychopath that lives in the shadows of Sesame Street, is Ernie's roommate. That's right. I'm talking about Bert. Okay, now hear me out. Okay, there is something known as the psychopath checklist that psychologists actually came up with. It's 10 points, checklist, if you will, of people, you know, the behaviors that say, hey, if you're like six of these, you're a psychopath. Bert ticks off about seven of those boxes or checks them off, okay? First of all, Bert has an unblinking stare. Watch Sesame Street if you want with kids or with not, you know, like I do sometimes. And just look at Bert. He doesn't blink. He's got this rage just kind of going at all times. He's got this crazy predator-like focus. It's like he's constantly calculating his next move, possibly to kill Ernie in the bathtub. I don't know what's happening there, but something's going on. He's also got boneless arms. Now, this is insane. So his arms have no bones in them whatsoever. So when he turns around, he can whip them at people really hard. What kind of psychopathic monster removes all the bones from his arms in order to use them as weapons? That is commitment. Look, you have explosives. You're like, you're throwing explosives away. No, no. I'll one-up you to remove the bones from my arms and hands. And you see him go nuts and psychopathic. Why do you think Ernie never gives him a hug? Why is there no physical contact between Ernie and Bert? Even though, you know, they're super close and everything. It's because he whips his boneless arms that only a psychopath would have at him at all times. What are the Muppets going to do when there's a freaking psychopath with boneless arms coming out of Oscar the Grouch's garbage can? You know, like, from, I don't even know what I'm saying at this point. All I'm trying to say is there's commitment like the Muppets have to their craft of, you know, entertainment. And then you have people who are going to rip bones out of their arms in order to protect their street. Good luck, Muppets. Oh, that's my point number two.
Okay.
Boneless arms, Eric.
I know, but no,
he could hang a mace arms off of those arms.
I know.
With spikes.
Yeah, I mean, he would.
And that would take out...
How many squirrels, Fred? How many squirrels do you see?
We'd have on some
Sesame
bacon.
Street? We could, but how many how many squirrels do you see on Sesame Street? Very few. You know why? Because they're all in the shed behind Bert's apartment. He's skinned them all alive and uses them, the bones, as action figures. That's what kind of... Sorry, Eric, go ahead.
No, no, no. Bert is going through it. Is that
Pinhead?
What's that?
What'd you say?
He's a pinhead.
He's a
brain small. Yep.
Fred, okay, so we are at the turning point right now. Let's get back on a business. We're at the turning point. Fred, we're now at the turning point. You've heard 2 points from both Eric and myself. Where's your hat? Who do you think is ahead, and what does the other side have to do to get the victory?
Well, that was a little sling blady.
Sure you like them taters.
You know.
Let it out, Fred. Let it out. So,
I'm going to have to give the ad. We're going to do a little tennis play here.
Yep.
The add-in is Sesame Street right now at this point.
Because why?
Because Muppets like herding cats. You just can't do it. So they're going to be all over the place. Even though it's pure chaos and whatnot and brute force at times, Sesame Street just brings that little bit of tactical advantage. I say again, tactical, because that's a cool word today.
Yeah.
And je ne sais quoi to the battlefield.
Ooh, nice.
A little French. That's
brought that out of the... I don't even know what it means, but...
Gonna throw up now?
Okay. Wait. I just made myself sick. To the fight, kind of like what Jersey would do to people from Pennsylvania, Philadelphia.
Right.
You mean like
annihilate them.
Yeah.
Thinking, you know. So right now, tactically, I'm going to give it to Sesame Street.
Interesting. Where are you from again?
So he's from the armpit of America. I'm from Philadelphia, next door. Yeah.
I'm sorry, you're from where?
A winning city called Philadelphia.
I'm just sorry you're from Philadelphia. That's awesome. I'm kidding. I love Philadelphia. By the way, Temple is one of my favorite universities. Good. Right?
Them owls, baby.
That's right. Okay. Yeah. So what did the Muppets have to do to gain the victory here?
They would have to band together.
Okay. They would have to band together. Band the Muppets got to get it.
Well,
together.
The Muppets have a band, but the entirety they of them do. Have to band together. So you're talking about the teamwork has to make the dream work in this case for the Muppets.
Correct. Miss Piggy, Kermit got to leave each other alone. Oh, wait. This PG. I forgot.
Yeah. He's trying, people. Fred's holding on. That dirty little
It's very difficult for me. And they got to get Gonzo Animal in check. Mm-hmm. And chaotic focus, hyper focus, and point them in the direction of battle, who they need to take out the bigger opponents on the other side of Sesame Street.
I like that.
This is why I'm glad Fred's here.
No, that's why we
I
got
was about
him.
To say, I was about to say, like, focusing Gonzo away from the chickens might be a little tricky thing. But Eric, you know more about that than I do. all right. This is crazier than I thought it was going to be. It's also a lot more fun, by the way. Go ahead. I think I have the advantage, but I don't think by much. Let's see what you got. Hit us your point number three.
Let's do it. Yeah. So let's get into this.
3 points.
3 points, Fred. This is my last one.
Baby,
this is my last
one. Bring it in.
I am. And you just set me up for success.
We got neutral. We got ad so far. We could have, this could be the tiebreaker.
This is the turning point.
Let's do it.
All right, here we go. So I'm talking about, Fred, fire in the sky. Okay. Hear me out. Are you ready for a skill testing question? Who's the most dangerous Muppet? Sweetums? Nope. Animal? Nope. You might be thinking Miss Piggy. Sorry, still wrong. The answer is Kermit.
Mm.
Yeah. Someone give me a Kermit, please.
Mm. No.
Fine. Fine.
Why would you say that, Bert? Sorry, that was it.
We gotta work on this. Kermit.
I watched an interesting Kermit video recently.
What was it, Fred? Okay, we'll let that go. We don't know what Fred watches in his.
He likes to go online.
Okay.
Do these interviews.
Okay, let me tell you why Kermit. I'm sorry, audience. We're coming back. All right. This is why Kermit is the most dangerous Muppet. Just like I mentioned in my last point, he can handle himself physically. Hold on. Let me continue. But there's something else. He knows every Sesame Street character inside and out. Their strengths, their weaknesses, their favorite tunes, you name it. And what does he do with that knowledge? Well, let's just say he can get pretty vicious. And when he needs to get vicious, after all of it, the Muppets originally had a primetime special called Sex and Violence. Not exactly kid stuff. Hear me out. There's not a lie. Undying loyalty. The entire Muppet crew would do anything for Kermit. Okay? They've risked it all for him. And before, you wouldn't even hesitate to do it again. Who leads Sesame Street? Exactly. There's no clear leader. That's my point, Fred. Meanwhile, Kermit can just snap his flipper and send Gonzo on a cannonball mission. So there is some leadership there. There's some cohesion in the group. And crazy Gonzo will literally, use Crazy Harry's explosives as well. Kermit's also a master of resources. Kermit spent a lifetime orchestrating wild stunts and shows. He knows exactly how to use each Muppet's special skills for maximum mayhem. And that's exactly why Kermit has been saving the best for last. His Space Force trump card, if you will. Okay, we're going to get some space involved. All right, yep. It's the pigs in space, guys.
What?
Yeah, I know. While the battle rages on the ground, Kermit signals his secret weapon from miles above. The Swine Trek. All right? Pigs in space. All right. The Swine Trek is armed with laser cannons and torpedoes. Translation, Scorch Earth time for Sesame Street. Okay? Mm. Yeah. When you add up the Muppets' natural penchant for chaos, Sesame Street's lack of preparedness, and Kermit's insider knowledge, plus space lasers, Fred, it's lights out for Sesame Street. There's no debate.
Freaking laser beams.
Yeah. That's my point number three.
Really? Okay, hold on. Before we move any further, I'm going to the judge here. Fred, you know, with your sensibilities, being from New Jersey and everything. Mm-hmm. Okay, here's the deal. Kermit is a force of nature for the Muppets. Okay, obviously.
Yes.
But guess what? He's also the exact same thing for Sesame Street. So either, I'm just going to say it right now, either Kermit exists, there's like a clone, either Kermit exists for both Sesame Street and the Muppets and can act in the exact same way in marshaling resources and tactics and strategy and what have you, or he doesn't exist for either one. What do you say?
So it's an in or out?
That's right.
That's tough. Because I do like Kermit.
That's what I'm talking about.
By the way, you can always say, he's a Muppet. You can always say, I'll get back to you on that and leave us up in the air.
Yeah, let me think about that.
What? What's there to think this about? Guy. What is there to think about?
Fred, you don't got to listen to this guy.
What is there to think about?
They're compelling arguments. I need to hear your side and see what Kermit can do if he can actually be that double agent.
Yeah.
On both sides.
He's panicking. James is panicking now. Thank you.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm not liking where this is going, but okay.
That Kermit, baby.
You know what? If you thought the Tesseract was kind of insane, just hold your horses for this one. For my point number three, let's talk about reality warping power. Now, the real unstoppable force for Sesame Street has going for it that the Muppets have no answer for is a character named Abby Kadabby. Now, Abby is a three-year-old fairy who has a wand and has the power to warp reality and just create absolute chaos for the Muppets. And I'm going to explain why. By the way, what's one thing you should never do is give a three-year-old the ability to warp reality whichever way they want. Right. Sesame Street, for some reason, was like, hey, this could be great. Let's do it. And they did. Okay, so Abby's wand, because she's got one, can summon anything from peanut butter sandwiches to giant, I guess, real-life pumpkins. Imagine her conjuring a pumpkin army to squash the Muppets or to turn a pumpkin alive and start eating the chickens that are in love with Gonzo. I don't know what's going on with that. And then she's got the sparkly pink wings that let her scout from above. She can fly, and she can dodge attacks and drop magical surprises from the sky. I don't know. Air quotes around magical surprise, by the way. Eric, you're a monster. Eric, you're a monster. She's also got the power of rhymes. That's a thing.
Okay.
So
okay.
Abby has a love of rhymes that evidently could be weaponized. Imagine her casting a spell that forces the Muppets to sing Rubber Ducky on loop until they surrender.
Not happening.
It's going to happen. Speaking of addictive behavior, she's also got fairy dust. I don't know what that is. She's got fairy dust. A sprinkle of her fairy dust could turn the Muppets into harmless objects like rubber chickens or cupcakes. Remember, when things go wrong for her, she typically uses her fairy dust as a deus ex machina, something I guess is done not that frequently on Sesame Street, but she can do it, and that immediately fixes everything. Also, Abby's has the ability to speak dragonfly, which means she can summon a huge army of insects to swarm the Muppets and just leave them scratching and swatting. Imagine Miss Piggy trying to swat at stuff and her karate chops completely useless against a swarm of whatever dragonflies she's calling up. And then she has friendship magic. It's her charm and kindness that rally Sesame Street's humans and monsters into an unstoppable, violent, united front. I'm not saying I've seen that on Sesame Street, but it's heavily implied that she can do it. Don't ask me how I know. But the thing that Abby could do absolutely, to absolutely beat the Muppets, and really the Muppets have nothing to combat these childlike antics, is it's something like what Wanda Maximoff did in Marvel Comics a long time ago. So years ago, Wanda, who's a mutant, said, hey, she got upset with mutants or Wolverine or something, whatever happened, and she just said, and tears running down her face, she said, no more mutants. With which all of a sudden reality gets warped and all of the mutants get taken off Earth like they were never there. What would happen if her friends are being attacked and all she knows it's the Muppets and she knows how to quantify it and she's like, no more Muppets. She's 3 freaking years old. I mean, that could totally happen. And all of a sudden the Muppets are wiped off of reality or wiped out of reality. Therefore, that's battlefield removal. Look, take the Count, who's a day-walking, blood-sucking vampire. Take Oscar the Grouch with his Tesseract and teleportation. Snuffleupagus, who could just stomp him like he's a mammoth. I mean, that's pretty good. A mammoth is huge. And put that all together. Super Grover, hello. And put that all together with Abby Kadabby with her fairy dust and wand and ability to warp reality, especially when the Muppets are attacking her friends. And this looks really bad for the Muppets. All of that is my point number 3.
Okay, before we go to the judge, Abby Kadabby was a good mention, and she's definitely a force to be reckoned with. The main thing where this comes into play, which will totally take out Abby Kadabby, given that she's 3, Gonzo's chickens. She'll literally follow them around and get distracted and not use none of her powers. That's what will take out
You're
Abby
saying
Kadabby.
The chickens that are in love with Gonzo, that Gonzo's also in love with, while they're attacking Sesame Street, following someone's orders, getting blown up, by the way, because they'd be like suicide chickens. All of a sudden, Abby Kadabby is going to be like, hey, let's chickens. Play with the chickens.
3-year-old.
I'm totally distracted. By the way, they're still attacking Abby Kadabby. She's like, I'm getting stabbed and pecked by chickens.
By chickens, a lot
I'll
of
I'll ignore it so I can play with them? Really?
Yes.
Have you had 3-year-olds? I have. You know what they do with chickens?
Chickens
they
distract kill them. Children. Chickens distract children.
Until children get their hands on them, and then it's dead
start,
chickens.
Start choking the chickens.
Are the chickens wearing vests?
Legion of Audience, we have monsters in the show.
Abby seems like a special little girl.
Let's throw this to the judge. Fred, you've heard 3 points from both Eric and myself. But before you come to a decision, tell us what's on your mind about this particular battle. It's time for a recap. Eric, what are the 3 most important points for the Muppets that you want our judge to remember in this insane gang war?
Yeah, and like I said, Fred, first of all, thank you for just, you know, hanging in there with us.
My pleasure.
Yeah, I hope you're in a healthy mental state at this very moment.
I was.
Okay. It was a nice day, right? When you came into the room.
It was.
Right, before. Right. So I'm going to bring these points home for you one more time. So remember, the Muppets have better combatants with insane fighting abilities. That's my point number 1, okay? My point number 2, Kermit is literally a tactical genius with some space flying capabilities, all right? Then lastly, the Muppets have a super weapon they can fire thanks to the pigs in space, which is back to my space capability.
Space.
Yeah, Space Force. Space Force. Yeah. That trumps everything. Got it. Yeah. Here are my top 3 points for Sesame Street. Sesame Street clearly has way more powerful characters in this fight. I mean, that's obvious. Sesame Street has superpowered beings, Tesseract garbage cans holding armies of homeless people, and a violent and probably murderous psychopath in the form of Bert. By the way, you know who controls Sesame Street? It's Ernie. It's clear. More on that later. And the real reason why Sesame Street beats the Muppets is because, unlike Eric, I don't have a signed poster of Ellen DeGeneres hanging in my bedroom.
I waited 2 hours in line to get that poster.
Okay. Fred, it's now officially time for your decision. Take us through your process. Tell us a story, if you will. Go completely 100% New Jersey and reveal who you think wins this battle between the Muppets and Sesame Street.
Well, we need to back up a little bit. So Kermit, is he on the table still for both sides? Because here's the deal. If he is, that's going to kind of level the playing field just a little bit. But if he's off, ugh.
I mean, if you think about the number of hours that Kermit's appeared on screen, because the Muppets can't seem to keep a show on air, Eric, it seems like he would be, by volume alone, with Sesame Street for much longer. So I would say, to make things fair, what if Kermit was for both sides equally?
Okay.
I'll allow that.
Okay.
He is a Muppet, though. A Muppet's a Muppet, but I'll allow that.
You'll allow it?
Yeah.
Okay. You sure about that?
I'm believing I gave enough firepower for me to get the win, so go ahead, Fred.
Just going back to the beginning with Kermit going on both sides, I would say with the pure chaos and even with Space Force and laser beams shooting out of their eyes. And
yes.
Compelling arguments.
Are they, though?
They are. They have some. There's some valid stuff over there.
Thank you, Fred.
And then you got pure, unadulterated animal, who's just super crazy, and Gonzo and Fozzie and Miss Piggy with her chops, and now she's in space. On the other side of the house, you got Sesame Street.
Right.
You know, having grown up watching mostly Sesame Street, not biased at all.
Okay, I hope not.
Maybe a little. We'll just put that out there. From the count. Do I even need to go into the count?
You don't have to, Fred.
I mean, everything, what he could do, just pure summon vampire abilities, even though he's counting all the time, to Snuffleupagus.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
To Oscar the Grouch, Big Bird. The list goes on and on. When you add in Kermit, it just is a devastating force to be reckoned with. And I don't know how anyone could overcome that from pure tactics and street smarts and everything else. Battling the Muppets, the crew, a little bit of, like I said earlier, herding cats, it's going to be a little bit tough to ring together and make that a controlled force of deadliness on the Muppet side. So for this final one, I'm going to have to give that ad to Sesame Street.
And there you have it. Fred. Another well-fought battle by me. Eric was also here presenting facts, but I seem to have gotten the win. And by the way, this is the third official time this battle has been debated, but the only time we've had someone who actually knows how a fight works for real, whether it's one-on-one or a larger gang war. I don't want to provide any details, Fred, but he knows how this stuff works. And finally, someone comes in and weighs in the right way. I can't believe it. Eric, you know, you put up a good battle, brought up some great points. Tell the Legion of Audience how you feel right now.
Yeah, I mean, my Muppets are one of a kind. They're powerful. There's something special. And I can't believe that I'm sitting here hearing that Sesame Street would beat the Muppets. Clearly not the conclusion I expected. And I think I shouldn't have given Kermit to you. I shouldn't have done that. Kind of backfired a little bit. But my Muppets, those are my guys. So I'm sticking by my guys. So on this day here, they won.
Yeah, okay. Absolutely. You know what? What a moral victory Gonzo has with his chickens that they'll celebrate later together. The thing is, Fred, I feel like, you know, if Kermit, let me ask you this. If Kermit was not allowed for Sesame Street and the Muppets could have Kermit, why do you still feel Sesame Street would have won based off my argument?
You know,
wow. No, they would have won, Fred, right? They wouldn't have. There.
Yeah, I like it, though.
Yeah.
Sprinkle that little magic dust.
I use a little abby-cadabby fairy dust.
Yeah. There you go.
Yep. Makes me feel much better.
Yeah. I mean, how can you not go with that? Little abracadabra, fairy dust, plus all the other.
But in all seriousness, if Kermit was allowed for the Muppets.
If Kermit was on the other side, it would have made it maybe the battle would have lasted a little bit longer. I can't say much longer.
Okay.
So the win still would have gone to
Sesame Street. Clear.
Thank you. Thank you. And that's how it is, guys. Well, listen, Legion of Audience, here's the deal with who would win Unleashed. We get to the absolute conclusion that the judge has in their mind. This is what we do. Really well done, Eric. Now, listen, Fred, amazing time. First time judge, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Well done. Fantastic. Yeah, please come back for more. I have a funny feeling Legion of Audience is going to really like you. In the meantime, tell the Legion of Audience where they can find you online.
Well, as one of the instructors of Relentless, we could always find me in person in Venice Beach, California, and teaching class.
1800 Abbot-Kinney.
There you go. I love it. Online, I have a website, directive.one. That is directive.one, not .com, where you could get some good instructional on self-defense and anything firearms related. And also, I do mortgages for a day job. So, but we'll discuss that another time. That's not a passion project.
I would say that anyone who can get me a mortgage who also could be my firearms instructor is going to get my business
package.
Never mind a black belt in jiu-jitsu, you know, partner of a good martial arts school in Venice, California, you know, Golden Gloves, you know, and someone who could see that Sesame Street would beat them up. I mean, he's the total package. Yeah. By the way, ladies, he's married. You're too late. Just putting that out there. All right, Eric, you did a great job today. Tell the Legion of Audience or fan base where they can find you.
Thank you. I'm going to have to go sleep this one off in a bit here. But yes, you can find me online at the Eric Holmes. That's my handle across my social medias. That's at TheEricHolmes, the Eric Holmes.
Very cool. You can find me on X, aka Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook by typing in at James Gapsy. Remember to join the official Who Would Win Facebook group to make a suggestion for a matchup for the show and to be part of our growing community. You can also find us on Instagram and Threads and TikTok at Who Would Win Show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever else you go for your podcasts. On behalf of myself, Eric Holmes, and the rest of the amazing Who Would Win production team, thank you once again for checking out another episode of Who Would Win. We'll see you next time. Hey gang, I hope you enjoyed this episode and loved listening to the show as much as we enjoyed making it. Quick reminder that you can support us by going to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow right now. Okay, gotta prepare for next week's episode. Hope the rest of your day is full of wins.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Styles McKenzie helping you make those rooms sing. Today's style tip. When it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild, like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.